1 Thessalonians chapter 5, again this evening, one verse, and we're coming down to verse 18. In verse 18, we're going to title it as we did last week. We're just going to title it as the verse says, in everything give thanks. Verse 18, and I'm just going to read this one verse to get started, and he says, in everything give thanks. And this is in the section here. From verse 16 through 18 so far, we find the command to rejoice evermore, to pray without ceasing, and in everything giving thanks, for this is the will of God. Verse 18 again, in everything giving thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Heavenly Father, we do ask tonight for thy blessings to be upon the reading of Holy Scripture. And Father, we pray again tonight that you would speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, as we come to this subject here this evening. And Lord, we've covered it many times in the past. And Lord, we just pray for thy will again to be done. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Again, as I just said, from verse 16 through 18, we have the command, these commands given so far, to rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. That was our text last week. And tonight, in everything, giving thanks. And he said, for this is the will of God. Now, as we read through 1 Thessalonians, we know that they were going through difficulties. We see this in chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. We see this in chapter 2 and verse 14. They're going through difficulties, tribulations. They had oppositions and persecutions. When we get into 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we'll see this again. About half of the chapter is dealing with some of the oppositions that they're going through, persecutions and tribulation that they were enduring. But as we come to this section, the closing of this book, verse 16, he says to the church, rejoice evermore. And then he says in verse 17, pray without ceasing. And then tonight, in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, as we come here and consider this, to give thanks in everything is to express our love and gratitude to God. As a matter of fact, one writer says, thanksgiving is the harvest of the heart after the fruit and grain are stored away, the quiet season of remembering the moment when we pause to praise and pray. One writer says, our murmuring is the devil's music. Grumbling will be the forever accent of hell, and gratitude the forever accent of heaven. And how true this is. Now, we're told this many times. We've preached on this before, but I want to give you several passages here this evening on this subject of in everything giving thanks. Why? Because he says this is the will of God. Now, knowing the providence of God and all things work for our eternal good, even in health and in sickness, we can give thanks if we understand that. In Leviticus 7, we're not going to be turning there, but Leviticus 7, there was a thanksgiving or a peace offering. And it was to remind them to continually give thanks as the sin offering continuously reminded them that they needed forgiveness of sins and atonement. They would give the sin offerings, and every time they did this, this was a reminder to them that they needed forgiveness and atonement. Well, every time they gave the peace offering or the thanksgiving offering, it was a reminder that they were to continually be thankful to God for the things that he had given them. You know what? Only true believers can do this. Only true believers can give thanks in all things, because no one upon this earth can give thanks for everything unless they know that God rules in the affairs of man, unless they know that circumstances and events are under the authority of the Lord God. Because we all run into difficulties and problems in life, in many, many areas, especially in sickness and things of that nature. But Romans 11:36, we preached on that a few weeks back, says all things are of Him and through Him and to Him. And that's sort of what we've got to keep in mind if we're going to be able to give thanks in all things. Now notice he says, again, let me read this one more time before we turn away. He said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, some of these passages are very familiar to you. Some of you may even have some of them memorized, but they're still important that we review them. I just wanted to slow down as we got to the end of the book and take each subject. Next week we're going to be looking at quench not the Spirit. I think that's very important. Now, he tells us in everything give thanks. Why? This is the will of God. And this is put on a higher level. In other words, it's not a suggestion. It is a command. So it's placed up on a high level. And we see in the Bible to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken is better than the fat of rams. God wants us to be obedient. So He wants us to give thanks in all things. Well, notice with me as we come here to Ephesians chapter 5, first of all, reading in verse 17. He says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In this chapter, he speaks of the will of God. In verse 3, he says here, but fornication, well, let me back up. Yes, verse 3. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. We're going to see this over and over and over in the Holy Scripture. We find here that there's not to be any filthiness, nor foolish talking. There's a lot of foolish talking in our society today. And he says, nor jesting. That's laughter at the expense of decency. Then he says, which are not convenient. These things are not right. They're not according to the will of God. He says, but rather giving of thanks. Now come down with me to verse 18 through 21. Verse 18 through 21. How can I, as a Christian, and I think it's a good question, how can I, as a Christian, give thanks in all things? In all circumstances and in all things. Well, I can't do it within myself. It's not within me. But I can do it through the fullness of the Holy Spirit, as we're going to read. He says in verse 18, be not drunk with wine, or as an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with wine is to be influenced or controlled by wine. To be filled with the Spirit is to be influenced or to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. So he goes on to say in this passage, he says, speaking, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Again, this has to do with the filling of the Spirit of God. This is the consequences or the fruit of being filled with the Spirit. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We can only do these things if we are filled with the Spirit of God. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this can only be done through the fullness of the Spirit, cannot be done in the flesh. Notice in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, our text also says that we're not only to give thanks and everything because this is the will of God, but he also says in Christ Jesus. In other words, through His power and His strength, can we obey this command? He is the source of our help. We're joined Him. We're in Christ Jesus. joined to Him by the Spirit. And so we are looking outside of ourselves and depending upon the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ will give us strength and He'll give us guidance that we can be able to do this. The early church, as we read through the New Testament, we find that the early church knew that their strength was in Jesus Christ. We would see that in places like in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 16 and 17, where we see them talking about giving thanks to God. 2 Corinthians 4, 15 and 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11. Notice in Colossians, reading in chapter 3. I'm coming down to verse 15, a parallel passage of Ephesians 5, verse 15 through verse 17. He says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body. Here it is, be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Verse 17. "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." In other words, again, a similar or parallel context to Ephesians chapter 5. Notice in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, reading in verse 6 and in verse 7. He says here in these verses, he said, "And you have therefore, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein," notice, "with thanksgiving." This is something that we see over and over and over again in the Holy Scriptures. Notice in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, and I am reading from verse 14. 14, 15, and 16. Then we're going to read in chapter 4. He says here in verse 14, 15, and 16, "Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run or in vain, neither labored in vain." You'll notice verse 14, again a command, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." We'll see another similar verse in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 10 in just a few moments. So we see here in these passages that we're joined to Christ. We have His strength and His example in giving thanks for all things to God. And notice now in Philippians chapter 4, we're to do all things, keep in mind, without murmuring and disputing. Now notice in chapter 4, first of all, we see that in verse 6, he says in verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything but prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Thanksgiving is a vital element of prayer. It's a vital element of prayer. But not only that, notice with me as we come down to verse 13. You see, Christ is our example in this command we have, and but also He is our source. We find in verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And you can read the context and see the things that Paul encountered, the things he went through. He knew how to be content in verse 11. He knew how to be full. He knew how to be hungry in verse 12. And he's saying here, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Then can I rejoice or be thankful in all things? He says, "Rejoice forevermore. Pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." How can I do that? We don't see a lot of that in the world. How can I do that? I can only do that through Christ because of being in Christ. And I can only do that if I'm walking in the Spirit and filled with the Spirit. Turn to Hebrews and notice with me in chapter 13. Hebrews in chapter 13. We know the story in Luke chapter 7, verse 11 through 19, the grateful leper. One out of ten returned and gave thanks unto God. And I wonder if that's the average today. One out of ten. Ten were healed. One turned back and gave praise and thanks to the Lord. Notice in Hebrews chapter 13, we read this passage just a few weeks ago in another sermon. Hebrews 13, verse 15 and 16. Now, verse 16 is reminding us that we are to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. These are the physical things that we do for the Lord. But notice what he says in verse 15. Here we come back to this thing of praise and thanksgiving and rejoicing. He said in verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The balance in verse 13, the balance in verse 15 and 16 is that he's saying, don't forget the things you're supposed to do, but he's saying in verse 15 that we are to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, speaking on thanksgiving, we must also see what the Bible has to say about unthankfulness. Unthankfulness is a sign of apostasy. Notice in Romans chapter 1, reading from verse 18. From verse 18. Now, verse 21 is the passage that we're after, but just to pick up the context. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Notice one of the first signs of apostasy is unthankfulness. This is given to us before we see sexual immorality in verse 24 and sodomy in verse 26 and 27 and spiritual madness, a reprobate mind, in verse 28. One of the first things we see here before we step into any of these others is that we see the sin of unthankfulness. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Again, this is one of the first signs of apostasy, which is unthankfulness. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy in chapter 3, the first two verses, speaking of the last days, we find here beginning in verse 1 and then verse 2. He said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Now look at the two words, the last two words. Unthankful and unholy. It's a sign of wickedness, apostasy. It's a sign of last days. And he says, unthankful and also unholy. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Peter 3, verses 1 through 5 says, "In the last days, in the last times, scoffers shall come, that is, mockers, those who are not thankful to God. They mock Him and scorn His word." 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's just begin reading in verse 1 to pick up the context. He says here in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea," carrying us back to the Exodus, "and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat," that was the manna, "and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Now notice in verse 5, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Now he lists some sins. He's going to list lust, idolatry, fornication, and tempting Christ, and the last one is murmuring. In verse 6, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." Notice these are our examples. "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples. So it's called examples in verse 6 and ensamples of verse 11. "And they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Now go back with me to verse 10, because we're talking about thankfulness in contrast to unthankfulness. And notice he's taken the text here from Numbers 16, verse 41 through verse 50. And what had happened? The Lord had to deal with Kore and some others there. Remember, the earth opened up. I think there were about 250 that died. And the people began murmuring. You read that beginning about verse 41 through 50 of that chapter. Whole chapter is dealing with this judgment of God. And so after they died, and they had challenged Moses' authority, and after they died, the people began murmuring, said, "You've killed the people of God." And this is where this passage is taken from. And it says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed to the destroyer." About 250 died originally, and then the people didn't like what happened. The earth opened up and swallowed up them and their families. So they began murmuring, complaining, and they were a large number that died here. There were 14,700 that died for one thing: complaining, belly aching, murmuring, being unthankful to God. Now that's a warning to us that we're always to be grateful and be thankful. Let's look at one other on this. Notice in the book of Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah in chapter 1, this chapter and this book is trying to call the people of God back unto repentance. Let's begin reading in verse 2. This is the chapter in verse 18 where he says, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And of course, they refuse to do this at this time. Notice as we come here beginning in verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doeth not know, my people doeth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, people laden with iniquity, seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. He continues throughout this chapter. He actually refused to accept their sacrifices in verse 11. He compares them with Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 10. And he's refused their sacrifices. And also in verse 13, he said, bring no more vain oblation. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and Sabbaths. The calling of assemblies I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn assemblies. Now these things were commanded. All these things, the sacrifice, the oblations, the incense, all these things were commanded, the solemn assemblies, they were commanded. And so yet the Lord said, because of your sin, I will not accept them. Kind of reminds us in Psalms 106. We read a number of times there, especially verse 13, 21, and 25, where they had forget the Lord. They had forgot about Him. He would do great miracles as they came through the Red Sea. On the other side, they began murmuring and complaining. And we see this throughout their history. And so coming back now to verse 3, notice the comparison here. He says, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doeth not know, my people doeth not consider. A dumb ox knows who his master is, knows who takes care of him. And we find here, and the ass knows where the master's crib is. When I grew up, we had animals had a barn, and we had one crib. We had a crib inside that barn, kept it closed up at where we kept all the corn and the feed for the animals. The animals knew what was in there. If they could get in there, we kept it locked. If they could get in there, they would get in there and eat all day long. But they knew where that crib was at. They knew where their food came from. So a dumb ox, an ass, they know who their owner is. They know who feeds them. And he's saying that my people are not even as wise as an ox or an ass. In other words, that ox and ass was more thankful to God than the people of God. The one had redeemed them out of bondage and out of slavery. The animals were more thankful. And you know this, a little bird can rain, they'll get down a mud puddle and take a bath and get a drink and fly up on a limb and just sing to God. And they're very thankful. They're very thankful to God. Well, notice in Psalms chapter 95. Read just a few passages in Psalms. In Psalms 95, maybe I'll give you some of these and not read them all. Let's begin in verse 1. Beginning in verse 1. And this may seem so minor here this evening, this subject and the last few subjects, but when we talk about rejoicing evermore, and we talk about praying without ceasing, we talk about giving thanks and everything, why? This is the will of God. This is important for us. He said in verse 1, O come and let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence, here it is, with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of His heels is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down, and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. He also tells us in verses 8 through 11 that Israel had hardened their heart. He said, harden not your heart as in the provocation. They had provoked God in the wilderness. And we know that for 40 years, verse 10, they were in the wilderness. And this is repeated in Hebrews 3 and also Hebrews 4, verse 7, as a warning to the people today. So in this passage, he says, be thankful. But we find in verses 8 through 11, some did not, as some do not today. Notice with me as we turn to Psalms 34. In Psalms chapter 34. Give you just a few other passages. Psalms 107, verse 1 and 2 is an invitation to praise the Lord. Let the redeemed, you know, praise the Lord. And throughout that chapter, verse 8 and verse 15 and verse 21, verse 31 and 32, this is repeated over and over. In Psalms 100 and verse 4, there's an invitation to enter into God's presence with thanksgiving. In Psalms 92 and verse 1, there's an invitation to sing praises unto the Lord and give Him thanks. In Psalms 97 and verse 12, there's an invitation to offer thanksgiving as an offering to the Lord. Psalms 50 and verse 14, there's an invitation to praise Him continually. In Psalms 30, verse 11 and 12, there's an invitation to glorify God forever. Psalms 119, verse 62, there's an invitation to rise up at midnight and give thanks to God. And in Psalms 105, verses 1 through 10, there's an invitation to rejoice in our God and give thanksgiving. One writer said, thanksgiving is not an event, it is an attitude. And that's really true. Notice in Psalms 34, verses 1 and verse 2. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Let us go to Revelation 5 and we'll bring this to a close. In Revelation, notice with me in chapter 5. Paul is giving some great admonition as he closes 1 Thessalonians. Revelation chapter 5. Let me first of all, and you'll find this again, this thanksgiving, this worship, this praise. You'll find this again in chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. And you'll find it again in chapter 7, verses 11 through 12. But notice as we come here, verses 9, let's begin in verse 9. He says here in verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign with him. Now notice the redemption of the saints of God. We've been redeemed. Now notice as we read from verses 11 through verse 14, and notice the angelic worship and thanksgiving and praise. And this is in heaven. And let us never let the angels outdo us in thanksgiving and praise and worship. Beginning in verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy rather is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Let us not allow the angels to outdo us in praise and in worship and in thanksgiving. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank you this evening for thy truth and thy word. We thank you for the privilege you've given us this day to come together and worship. And Lord, help us to be obedient to the commands that you give in your word. Help us to rejoice in these. Lord, help us to always be thankful in all things, even in health and in sickness. Lord, help us to look unto you and realize that you rule in the affairs of man. And Lord, that you are on the throne. Nothing gets by thee. And Lord, we just praise you tonight and ask your blessings upon the remaining of the service. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.